Isn't there a way to turn off a Roomba? Or does it just, it's self-aware?
Yeah. Like, it just one sounds like it became self-aware.
It says here, the vacuum cleaner locked onto her hair and sucked it up, apparently mistaking it for dust. I say it was a hit. I don't believe that at all. How could you mistake a head of hair for dust?
It looked like dust to me.
It says the agony.
Maybe she was an ashy blonde.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, we're kicking off. We're kicking off another sweet, sweet Hey You Know It.
That's right.
I want to go right away. I don't want to start with anything except for
that's a long walk. That's a really long walk to jump into something.
It is. I saw this little tiny thing. Google apparently is going to be launching a new wearable fragrance emission device.
What?
They haven't made it yet, but they were awarded a patent for a body odor busting device which releases fragrances to keep the user smelling fresh.
Okay.
The wearable, quote unquote, fragrance emission device. They got to come up with something better than that.
Yeah, no kidding. It sounds like.
It does not sound good at all.
No. sounds like they need to.
Even it's the fragrance emission device, they don't know what to call it.
This is going to have. It's like in 18 years, other little fragrances are going to be knocking at your door like. That's what it sounds like.
Yes. It includes the, so this fragrance emission device, I'm going to call it a FED, okay. An FED, includes several sensors that can detect the physical activity of the user. The sensors would also detect a rise in temperature and moisture that suggests that the user is sweating and therefore starting to get stanky.
And needs to be covered up.
And needs to have some fragrance emitted.
Now, does it emit on the person or in the air around the person?
Well, the FED, you wear it under your clothing.
Uh-huh.
And I guess the sensor's attached to your body somewhere. I'm assuming that you're wearing it, you know, in the pits.
Okay.
And down below, possibly.
Is this just to get rid of stink, or is it a cologne?
No, it releases a fragrance to keep you smelling fresh. It doesn't say. It keeps a tab on your odor levels. So I guess this thing is sniffing you all day, trying to figure out if you're funky or not. And when you hit the funk meter level, you know, 10.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Then it emits the fragrance. It's also able to regulate how much of the fragrance has to be emitted to cover the stench.
Well, that's nice, but no.
Sometimes you need to, like, smell is the body's way of letting you know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. That means it's nature's way of telling you to take a shower.
Yeah.
And then also.
Or letting you know that you're exerting yourself or you're sick.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're not feeling well. It also helps you to cleanse the body. So, mm-hmm. you know, you need to know these kind of things.
Right. And if you're going to use, say, a nice perfume or a cologne, part of the magic of it is that it mixes with your own body chemistry.
Yeah, your pheromones.
And it creates a whole new smell. So no smell sounds the same on two people.
I'm afraid that Google is going to make its own Google smell.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of weird electronic. You know when you get a new computer or something like that, that weird, you know, smell when you open up the package?
Yeah.
Either that or they're going to start patenting your funk.
They're going to start tracking it. So then when they have people in the stores or mm-hmm. wherever, and they're like,
I can spot you.
Yeah.
It says here the device.
No, not just spot you, but also can tell what's going on with you so then they can sell more to you.
Sorry.
You
seem funky.
I could smell the insecurity on you.
Yes.
Try this new hat.
It says the device will provide travel tips.
What?
Which can suggest routes away from people within your social circle that are linked to the device in case of bad smelling situations. So I think what they're trying to say is, you know, I'm starting to really just kick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lines rising from me.
Wavy lines are rising.
And I see you and I'm like, oh no, the last thing I want to have happen now is for Katie to smell me. Thank God this FED has alerted me to the fact that Katie Kazmier is here. I'm out. Peace.
Whereas if it's somebody else that you don't really care too much, if they smell you.
But I don't like the idea that you're going to know where I am just because we're in the same social network. Yeah. So like, say you're on Facebook, you have 1,000 friends and you all somehow accidentally sign up for this thing or give access to it. Now, anywhere you go, you'll be able to know if another person is there and then you can go towards them, I guess, or avoid them. That has nothing to do, in my mind, with the way that you smell. So I feel like there's a Trojan horse situation here. If you're worried about how you smell, it's called doing a pit check, people.
Yeah.
Simply lower the nose to the left or right towards one's pits.
Yeah.
Take a sniff.
Yeah.
Ask a friend.
Right. And then go take care of it.
And then go take care of it.
Yeah.
You should have taken care of it already.
Yeah, and how rude of you. Like, if you know you stink, you're going to be around people that you don't care about.
The other thing, too, is that, like you were saying about the pheromones, there are sometimes where I think people think that they're not smelling badly because they put on some Axe body spray. And I'm like, now you just smell like an ass, Axe, and a foot.
Yeah.
Cheese. You know what I mean? A sock that's been left out in the sun. Or whatever the situation may be. Fritos. Whatever. So it's kind of one of those
bag of chopped onions.
The smell is in the nose of this,
of
the smeller, as it were.
Yeah. God, Google.
Google.
Come on.
That's what they're working on. And thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because we don't have deodorant.
Okay.
All right, what do you have?
This, I have a listener mail.
Oh, awesome. So if you send us an email, we will read it on the air and we will thank you.
Yes. We're going to do.
We love listening.
This is an email from Katrina G.
Yay!
Hey. Dear Jaquetta and Katie, I've got a suggestion for one of your penis news segments.
All right, we'll take it.
Okay, I hope this email doesn't get thrown in your spam filter since I'm sure this is one of the words they look for.
We actually have a filter for penis that puts it into our mailbox. Right. I actually have a Google alert for penis. I get
not
penis
pictures,
news every day.
Well,
no, we don't want that.
Okay. Anyhow, this bizarre story from China about an unfortunate baby pig born with what looked like a penis on its head.
Oh no, a dickhead.
The freaky thing is, people wanted to buy it. Weirder still, the Daily Mail pixelated two of the photos like the pig was in a witness protection program.
They pixelated out the penis or the pig's face?
The pig's, the whole thing. And then printed another picture showing it very clearly. So it's like a pixel. People are insane. All right, thanks for producing such a fun show every week. I love it.
Thank you, Katrina.
Thank you so much.
That's
first
awesome.
Of all, you sent this. Thank you. Thank you so much. And the link.
Oh my God.
It says the link is mutant pig with human face and penis on its forehead draws crowds and cash offers.
Human face?
Yes. But no, penis on the face. And pig with human face. Yeah. That's
how did you skip that part? That's phenomenal. It's not just a dickhead. It's a dickhead on a human face.
On a pig.
On a pig. That we can't see because it's been pixelated up.
Wait till I get to the next thing.
To protect the identity of the pig.
So I have the article here. It says, Farmer said he was inundated with cash offers for a pig born with a human face and a penis on his forehead after photos of the newborn mutant went viral.
Mm-hmm.
So this is in China. It was the last born of a litter of 19.
Okay. Well, what was left at that point besides a human face and a dick? Nature was out. Spent.
Here's a picture.
That does not look like... Okay,
it looks like a little...
A protrusion.
A protrusion. It's almost like a headlamp.
Yeah.
Like if you ever go spelunking.
Yeah, you know.
And so you wear the headlamp on your forehead.
I've actually been spelunking.
Have you?
Did you? Yeah, I wore the little thing on. It looks like you're just wearing it. First of all, it doesn't look like a human face. If you see a human that looks like that, run.
Right. Like, it's not a very...
And it doesn't really look like a penis either. It just looks like a deformed pig.
It looks like, just almost like a sad unicorn.
Yeah, and by the way, it's number 19? So it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You're lucky you got that.
And very sadly, the animal died after being rejected by its mother and refused in a bottle.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, it was a large litter. The mutant was one of the last.
Yeah.
All the others were normal. This one was just really bizarre.
That animal never could have survived in the wild with a dick on his face like that.
But it wasn't an actual
looking
penis.
Looking like
it
little Tommy.
It was a growth. It wasn't a growth. It did not function like a penis.
They're just saying that. The farmer should have sold the pig.
It's a shame it died. I could have got more money for it than the rest of the family put together.
Heart.
Yeah.
He's all heart.
Right. One person who saw the animal firsthand said, I was one of a dozen people who went there to see the piglet, and it really did have a human face. And exactly like you said, a penis growing out of its forehead. It was not a penis.
It was not a human face.
It wasn't a human face. It was cartilage.
Oh. Oh, that just looks like a hot mess.
Yeah.
Nice try, though.
It just looks like a little old man.
Yeah. A little old man.
Anyway, and it's very sad, and this poor thing, that's what its life was like. But thank you, Katrina.
Yeah, and you know, it could have grown up to become a sausage, too, Katie, yeah. So I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Speaking of penis, I want to do a little bit of penis news. Awesome. This is kind of a weird one.
Okay.
Penis news is a segment that we do, and sometimes our fans help us with
yes.
it. Where it's the member
thank
on the
you
move.
So much, Bryson.
Dick updates. Right. Hashtag penis news. So this is teenager undergoes world's first penis reduction surgery. Did you hear about this?
What is
apparently,
that?
Apparently.
Wait a minute. A teenager actually wants a reduction?
Mm-hmm. An American teenager's manhood measured 7 inches in length and had a circumference of 10 inches
wow.
when flaccid.
What?
It apparently was shaped like a football.
Wow.
The boy complained that his penis was too large and it restricted his ability to play sports or have sex. He guesses that's the reason why he hasn't had sex. And that he is now undergoing a life-changing operation.
Did he have a girlfriend? And then the girlfriend was like, wait a minute.
Forget it. I don't know. He was 17, so maybe he did. Maybe he didn't.
Maybe, yeah. Right.
You know?
Okay.
So
there's a difference between someone saying, I can't do this thing.
Yeah. And not having the opportunity.
Or him not, like, feeling comfortable
yeah.
dropping trash.
He's like, the reason I can't talk to a girl is this massive dick. So the urologist, Rafael Carrion, at the University of Southern Florida, who treated the teen, was quoted saying, there comes a time in every urologist's career that a patient makes a request so rare and impossible to comprehend that all training breaks down and leaves the physician speechless.
Oh, this guy's great. This guy has a flair for the drama.
Yes. But I mean, really, like, as a urologist, I'm sure you, every 5 minutes, people are like, hey, can you make it bigger?
Can you make it bigger?
Bigger, longer. I need more. To have someone actually come in and be like, you know what? Well,
make it smaller.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you ask can you ask the nurse to step up for a second?
And he's like, you're kidding me. And he's like, no.
But apparently, the shape and massive size of the penis was a result of the kid having sickle cell, which I found interesting because, you know, a lot of African-Americans have sickle cell.
Oh.
And they're always talking about black dudes, Johnsons.
Yeah.
Or Leroys, if you will.
So are they going to go around and giving sickle cell injections to people?
I have no idea. I've known some people who've had sickle cell, obviously because it's something that's in our community, mm-hmm. but I've never heard about it making your dick big.
Mm.
So who knows? I'm not saying it can't, but
yeah.
I didn't know that was associated with it.
I had not known.
So that Rafael Caron said he couldn't find any precedent for penis reduction. This is the first ever penis reduction
really?
In the history
oh,
of
I
penis
feel reductions. Like the trumpet sound should go.
Yeah. so that he had a team and he ended up, you know, taking care of it, removing parts of it. And apparently everything worked out okay in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So now this kid has I hope they didn't make it too small. I'd be
I
like,
know,
just,
right?
just a little off the top.
Right.
Short back and sides.
Just the sides. That's what he wanted.
So yeah, now this is the first
aww.
Penis reduction surgery.
I hope he's okay.
I'm sure he is. But I mean, otherwise they would have, you know, mentioned something about it. But it's just, that's odd.
Remember, if they reshape it, and then still a girl's like, wow, that's pretty big. And he's like, yeah, I had it reduced.
Yeah, no one's going to believe him. No one's going to believe that he had a penis reduction. They'd be like, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, ladies. I had to have it squashed down just for you.
Yeah.
It was huge. So here, yeah. The problem is, though, is that 7 inches in length, okay,
fine,
whatever.
Fine.
It's the 10 inches circumference
yeah.
that was probably a problem for people.
I'm looking around the room.
Trying to see something. This water bottle, for
yeah.
example. So, yeah, that's my penis news is that, you know, sometimes you can't have too much. You can have
yeah.
too much.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, though, that they can take care of it for him.
That's good. I'm glad,
yeah.
and I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah.
All
so,
right.
Yeah, he's going to be legal soon, so he can
yeah.
get out there with that thing.
Go get it. Son.
Enjoy it. Enjoy life.
Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Yeah, go for you. Go. Give me a pee, you know. All right. What do you have?
I have here, this is the invisible girlfriend, invisible boyfriend.
Okay. Is this?
This is a new service.
Okay.
There's a website you can go to. It's actually a business. Where you can get text from your invisible girlfriend or boyfriend.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Right.
It's very popular, apparently, in Southeast Asia.
Is it?
in the cultures where it's kind of compulsory that you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, like it's expected of you in the culture. Mm-hmm. So some, you know, very forward-thinking men or women are just pretending to have girlfriends and boyfriends, and maybe this helps.
Right. So what it is this service, you can, first, they're asking real people for their pictures. So you can send your picture, I can send my picture, anybody could, and you can put yourself up there as in, you know, you send a variety of pictures.
What if your picture gets around? They're like, yo, someone else is with your girlfriend, man. Like,
and so this would be somebody that you would find attractive or whatever that you would date, and then you can text this person, but the person doesn't really answer. It's the people that run the service.
Now,
text you back.
So it's an actual person texting back. Who is seeing this text?
It is the for you to, so say, like, you know, you have coworkers who are like, you know, what's going on with you? And a little mean. Mm-hmm. You don't have somebody. So then you just are like, yeah, I have a boyfriend. I don't know why my voice goes up.
Because now you're in a relationship. That's why.
And
when I'm single,
and then I'm like,
here.
Oh, yeah, he's texting me now. And you kind of put the phone down so, like, you know, the picture and the text will actually come up. And they
oh,
see it.
I see. Okay, yeah.
Or if you have a mother or family situation where they're putting a lot of pressure on you. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking for the family members.
So this is kind of, and it's also for when you are out and you meet somebody that you don't like. And you could be like, I already have a boyfriend. Here's this text, see?
Here's all the texts I just got from him just now. And you're like, this looks like Billy Zane. Are you dating Billy Zane?
Yes, so they're doing that. So here's some of the frequently asked questions.
Okay. Or the fake texts.
This, you know, you want to sign up for this site and everything. Will I be paid for my selfie? They say, no, not for the first one. So if you want to make some money, Jaquetta, not for your first one. But if someone selects your picture...
this is if I want to work for the service?
Question is, if you want to work for the service... if someone selects your picture as their invisible special someone, will not only send you an I'm someone's invisible girlfriend boyfriend t-shirt, will pay you for each additional selfie you submit.
Wow.
So you have to be picked first, you get a t-shirt, and then you get paid.
Okay. Now, does it have to be an actual picture of me?
Yes, that's the next question. Does the photo have to be of me? It says, yes, you must be the person in the photo, and you must have the rights to use it.
Okay.
And
I own the rights to most of the pictures of me, so I think I'll be okay.
Will anybody know it's me?
Well, they'll see you.
Yeah, they say your secret's safe with us unless you tell all your friends and you wear the t-shirt.
Well, this is the thing. They've sent you a t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, but they'll never share your identity
apart from your picture.
Apart from your pictures. Just your picture.
Yeah, but with Google now, they have you can search by face. Yeah. The face recognition.
With anyone else ever. Even if you use your zip code to make sure your photo's not available to... Well, yeah. So nobody's going to know.
Okay.
How long will my invisible boyfriend take to respond to my text?
Ha! You're like a regular boyfriend. You just have to wait around till he feels like it.
And then you have to figure out what he means by the text. You ask all your friends.
I'm busy. What does that mean?
Yeah. It says the service is meant to simulate a real relationship, so response times vary just as they do in real life.
Nice.
And then it's, you get 10 free texts, and then you have to pay for the rest.
Okay. Who, me?
Yeah. And your text to them and the reply count. So you're going to get like 5 back and forth.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you have to pay for more. So if you really want to show somebody that this boyfriend is texting you.
You got to pay for more texts.
You got to pay for more texts.
Okay.
Can I have more than one invisible boyfriend?
Sure.
Yeah.
How much money do you have?
Yeah. Right? But you have to keep setting up new accounts.
Okay.
And then like, what if I don't like the photo? It's like, don't pay me.
Yeah, you chose it.
What's wrong
this
with
is
you?
Bizarre.
Yeah.
See, they've taken something which on the face of it seems quite easy to do as a business, and they're making it really difficult.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I would do. If anybody out there wants to set this up with someone, mm-hmm. I think you should just give them $20 a month or something, or, you know, work something out with them and just, you know, have someone texting
you. Just text you.
To go through all this.
Right. And says, who would they ever really need an on-demand boyfriend? But here's the thing. If you want a if I'm paying for a boyfriend, mm-hmm. better answer my text.
Yeah.
And this BS making me wait around.
Yeah. I'm paying for this.
Yeah. He says here, who would need an on-demand boyfriend? They say, ever been trapped and forced to tell a lie, then another until you don't know the truth yourself?
Oh, no. So this is someone who's already started this elaborate, you know, sitcom 80s style that I have a real boyfriend, real girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Then they're demanding to see the boyfriend or girlfriend. So you're like, why? They're not here, but we text.
Right.
And then the next step is eventually you have to produce that person. I guess that'll be the next business they do.
Right. If you're in business, sometimes you won't get a promotion or be seen as somebody if you're not in a relationship.
Oh, I see.
Like, it's like, really, what are you doing with your time? You're going out there trying to get on that.
I guess, too, if you're trying to either hide your sexuality or prove your sexuality to someone. That's another one, too.
So it answers the question.
He seemed gay, but look at these texts. I mean, that definitely makes the case for him being straight.
It's like, can you ever meet this person? The answer is no.
No. Not yet.
No.
I'm saying that they should extend. So I'm saying that this business should grow as the lie grows. So it starts out, this business is just texting. That's the lie, is just I'm getting texts. Right. Eventually the family or the business or the friends are going to want to see this person.
Yeah.
So now we need to start another business where we actually get that person to appear in real life.
Right.
Then, you know, it gets even deeper. You get engaged. Right. So now we got to set this up.
Right.
We're doing mail order bride and groom work here.
Right.
Basically.
And so then you, like, so then the payment for that. So then you have a fake engagement with a real person.
Mm-hmm.
You have the engagement party and get all the presents.
Mm-hmm. You get left at the altar.
Yeah. Boom. And you split the presents.
And now everyone feels bad for you.
Yeah.
They're like, Sanjay, what happened? You're like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. She's gone.
Gita is gone.
But I have this toaster.
Yep. I have this toaster. And I have proof that someone was interested in me. And I got the promotion. I get another promotion. Now everyone feels bad.
Right. But sometimes it makes you look better if you have someone interested in you.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess you could use it if you're trying to date someone and they think that you're too available.
Yeah.
And you could casually leave your phone out and have, like, multiple people texting you.
And then you hold it up and laugh every so often.
That's a bit much.
You're so...
It becomes creepy.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you sent me this.
So I have a piece of robot news here. Oh. Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse.
Yeah, we are.
It's happening in this year.
It's 2015.
And it's coming from South Korea.
Yeah.
And I have this piece of news from South Korea that says it started.
What?
South Korean woman's hair eaten by robot vacuum cleaner as she slept. So you know those Roomba things that seem very cute and very innocuous? Woman was sleeping on the floor of her home, I don't ask, when a robotic cleaner ingested her hair, leaving her in agony. So she was taking a nap on the floor, as one does.
White wine.
A couple of white wine.
Was involved, yeah.
She had a this Roomba, like a robot vacuum cleaner, and I guess she left it on to do household chores, and then she ended up taking a nap, and she was woken by her hair being pulled, and only to find out that it was a fucking vacuum cleaner. She had to call the fire department to have them help her untangle her hair from it. Now, I don't know. She must have been drunk.
She had to.
Because otherwise, she would have probably just gotten up and cut the hair off or turned the thing off.
So you turn it off and then just kind of pull it out yourself. What's wrong?
Isn't there a way to turn off a Roomba? Or does it just, it's self-aware?
Yeah, I think.
Like,
this one sounds like it became self-aware.
It says here, the vacuum cleaner locked onto her hair and sucked it up, apparently mistaking it for dust. I say it was a hit. I don't believe that at all. How could you mistake a head of hair for dust?
It looked like dust to me.
It says the agony.
Maybe she was an ashy blonde.
The agony of having her hair entangled in the bowels of the contraption roused her from her slumber?
Yeah, I bet it did.
Unable to free herself, she called the fire department in a desperate rescue plea and was separated from the robot's clutches by paramedics. I mean, they probably just came over with some scissors and were like, there you go. Lady, thanks for calling us. It says robot vacuum cleaners have grown in popularity. I've never seen one before. Have you seen one?
I have not seen one, and I feel like it's a waste of money.
I have this thing called a broom.
Right.
And that works pretty well.
Yeah.
So iRobot circular Roomba sold over 10 million units in the 12 years since its debut in 2002. And then the Panasonic has one as well. And so it says the gadgets are equipped with sensors that enable them to steer clear of obstacles, not heads, apparently.
Yeah.
Avoid tumbling downstairs. I'm saying this thing probably, like, save that for dessert.
Right.
You know? And to detect dust and other debris on the floor. It can also, this is the problem, they can also be programmed to seek out a recharging Doc. So this thing doesn't need you.
Right. But now that it's got a taste for human blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just got hair.
They probably had to shoot it and put it down. Because they can't have it now.
It's out back like, damn you. It says,
sorry.
Korean BizWire pointed out, however, that people from cultures in which it's commonplace to sit or nap on the floor, such as Japan and South Korea, may be more vulnerable to vacuum robot rage. Oh. They're calling it.
Oh, God. My goodness.
I didn't know. And I've known plenty of people from Korea and Japan. I know sitting on the floor is a thing. I didn't know that napping on the floor was a thing as well.
Why not?
And there's nothing wrong with
nice
it.
Nice for your back.
But I feel like if you have a Roomba.
If you have a bed.
But if you have a Roomba and you know that you have a Roomba, like maybe.
You should turn it on.
Maybe don't lie on the floor with your hair.
Yeah.
Sticking out like that. It's almost like an invitation.
Your pet snake. Go free. And you're like, exactly. It's cuddled up to me.
And it's interesting because this is the first account that I've read about this, but I'm sure it happens all the time. Yeah. I'm sure she's not the only person in South Korea. Right. She's just the only person who was unfortunate enough to be in the paper. The picture is just a woman face plant and the Roomba like on her head.
Oh my God.
I don't like those things.
She's probably trying to extract her thoughts too.
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe it was just like, you know what, bitch, I've had it.
Clean your own floor.
Yeah.
I'm more than this.
He's like, finally, some real dirt on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have?
I have your listener tweet.
Oh, awesome. Our Twitter is at Hey You Know It.
Yes.
And we do respond.
Yes, so go ahead.
Vigorously.
Follow us.
Yeah. We tweet aggressively.
Yes. Aggressively means once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, when it counts.
Yeah. Okay, so this is from Rhonda. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yeah, thanks, Rhonda.
This is the creepy robots checking in guests at this Japanese hotel will give you a nightmare.
Rhonda, we're twins. I have the same piece of news.
Yeah, well,
I was creeped out by this first.
This is in Japan. They have this hotel that's opening up, and the people have androids that check you in.
Are they calling them androids?
Calling them androids. Actroid androids. They call them actroids.
Mm-hmm. I call them a threat to human survival.
Yeah, they replicate young Japanese women. Excuse me? Yes.
They replicate them?
Yes. Not just in hand gestures, but in hand gestures, eye movement. So they have the same mannerisms as young Japanese women.
Okay. Whatever that is, I don't know
what
that is.
And they even giggle.
Ooh. Do they cover their mouths when they do it in the stereotypical TV way?
They have to.
It doesn't look like a Japanese woman. I just like to say that. It's uncanny valley.
It looks like a little bit of a sex doll, and they don't have teeth.
Ooh.
And these,
yeah, because they don't need them.
Right. And they perform a variety of functions, including checking in guests, carrying luggage to rooms, and making cups of coffee with a smile.
Oh, well, kind of.
Yeah.
If that can be said.
So, yeah, this hotel is actually in a Dutch theme park.
I know. When I read that part, I was like, you know what? This has just gone into a whole different place.
Right.
This hotel apparently has, 72 rooms?
Something like that.
It's in a Dutch theme park, an area that's made to look like, you know, a Dutch concession, I guess. And apparently there are 10 robots and 10 people who staff the thing.
Yeah.
And people are so desperate to get rooms that you have to bid on the rooms. So you can't just go online and book the room.
Really?
You're bidding to get that room. So they're trying to build more, you know, rooms.
But the highest bid gets the room.
But the highest bid is only $135. I'm like, why not just make that the price?
I think it should be a worldwide agreement. Nobody bids higher than $135. That's it, because we're naming your price.
But that's it. They said that that's the most you'll pay is $135. I don't see why the bid, you know, do they know how this works?
And then just be like such an... But
it's inconvenient. It's bizarre to me because, you know, first of all, I don't like robots. Mm-hmm. And second of all, shouldn't it be cheap now that there aren't actual people there doing the work?
And I'm not tipping them.
I am not tipping them.
Yeah.
I am not tipping them at all.
No.
It's creepy to me. I don't see any... One of the perks of going to a hotel is customer service.
Right.
With, you know, real people who have teeth. And not these weird sex robots.
That's right. Yeah, you need somebody to come... I once was getting ready for a wedding. I was at a hotel, and the dress that I bought, I had to it was tricky. The zipper in the back was tricky, and I couldn't get it zipped.
You let one of those things zip up, they're going to rip it off along with your skin.
I really had to call the concierge to come by
and help you.
And help. That, and they did, and it was fine. But if this thing came to my room to help me with a zipper, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Now, are these things walking around, or are they just behind the counter?
They're behind the counter, but they come out, and they'll make you coffee, and they'll accompany you to your room.
No, they won't. They will not come out. They will not come out from behind the counter.
Oh, yes, they will.
I am freaked out by this for a couple different reasons. One is the uncanny valley thing that we talked about. Mm-hmm. The uncanny valley is when you look at some kind of a droid, a humanoid robot, you know right away it's not a person.
Because there's something off.
Right. Well, there's no life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that's off. I think maybe we can sense that, you know. Hopefully it's an evolutionary thing. I should be able to tell an animate object from an inanimate object. Mm-hmm. But the other problem that I really have with this is I don't think that robots should look like humans. I don't think humans should be the model for what a robot
is. Right.
I think we're limiting what robots can be. But it's also fucking creepy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. And these robots, they all look alike.
If you want a human, looking thing, have a baby.
Yes. there's no shortage of humans that could be doing this kind of a thing.
Right.
I know in Japan, yes, they do have they have very low fertility rates, but this is not the answer.
Yeah, this is people.
Immigration could be the answer. I don't know. It's weird.
So thank you so much, Rhonda.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, man, that was the piece I brought in.
Oh, no.
Cool. No, I'm happy. It's more interesting when someone else brings it up, in my mind.
You're listening to Hey, You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Yes, this next segment is Tales from Dare Campfire, wherein we retell a ghost story, a myth, an urban legend, a tale of the paranormal.
Yeah, folklore, fake lore.
Right. And we retell it, actually, around the digital campfire.
Yes.
So gather around, listeners.
Yeah, I have one here from American Folklore. It's called Bleeding Sink, an excerpt from Spooky Montana.
Bleeding Sink.
Yeah.
Not as in sink.
No. As in Backstreet Boys type of thing.
Right.
No. Bleeding Sink. I found that this is retold. So I'm retelling
retelling
by S.E. Schlosser.
Oh.
I found it extremely annoying that one of the bathrooms on my dorm was permanently closed, especially since the cause was an urban legend. Urban legend, I tell you.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. If I had a bathroom on my floor that was
on
closed,
your dorm.
No thanks.
According to the story, years and years ago, some bloke got himself massively drunk at a bar downtown and passed out in the bathroom on the fourth floor. Apparently, he hit his head on the sink as he fell. And his blood spattered into the sink as he slid senseless to the floor and silently hemorrhaged to death.
Oh.
His death was considered, quote unquote, a sad accident. I don't know why that's in quotes. That's sad.
A sad accident. Maybe he was he.
You know.
You know how.
A sad accident.
I can't believe that. How did they?
I don't know. His death was considered a sad accident by faculty, staff, and townspeople.
Okay.
But that was no reason to shut up the bathroom for decades. I agree. I completely discounted the story of the bleeding sink. And it was just an urban legend students circulate to explain the locked door. I'm with you on this. When I go into a bathroom that has stalls, if I push on one of the stalls and it doesn't open, I look under and there's no feet. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is somebody standing on the toilet?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's scary. Someone's standing and they're going to peer over at you.
Yeah.
Are they doing something or did they just kill someone?
Exactly.
Right.
Or is there something in there? Someone's put something in there and crawled out?
Yeah.
All manner of things.
Right. So we don't like it. I like a nice sign on the door.
Yeah.
The management. This is
the management. Happened to those? They don't do that anymore.
This stall is not available.
I think they stopped doing that in cartoons. This is our narrator says, I'm sick of sharing a bathroom with you disgusting lot. I grumbled to my roommate. I'm going to break into the fourth floor bathroom.
Nice.
My roommate, eyes wide. Don't you know that bathroom is haunted?
Oh.
Okay, clearly he does.
Yeah.
The bloodstains are on the sink are as fresh today as they were when the accident happened back in the 60s. And sometimes you can hear the boy moaning as his life ebbs away on the bathroom floor. No one says that. That's a quote from his roommate. As his life ebbs away.
Come on. It's a bathroom with pipes.
Yeah.
And so it's somebody in, doing some business.
So the guy tells him, look, it's romantic twaddle. He says, so he decides, he's like, my grandmother lives in a haunted castle in Scotland with ghosts. I'm not concerned about it. I'm going in. Not a big deal. Plus, the maintenance staff told him that they were just, you know, doing some renovations on the John.
Okay.
You'll be sorry, my roommate said. And I ignored him. He was just sore because I had lumped him in with the other disgusting people who messed up the bathroom on their floor. You'd think someone would teach them to pick up their dirty clothes. He digresses. In any case, so he finally, when the dorm quieted down for the night, that's when he decides to go in.
It's late.
It's quiet. He goes up to the fourth floor with a piece of wire he purchased at a local hardware store because he's a, you know, he knows how to break a lock.
Nice.
You
this,
know.
I like this guy.
I do,
he's
too.
He's a rebel.
Yeah, he's a rebel.
He says,
bit of a thief.
Twaddle.
So he gets into the bathroom. No problem whatsoever.
Right.
Bathroom was rather old-fashioned and had a disused air to it.
A disused air?
Yes.
I'm going to use that phrase from now on everywhere.
There was dust in the corners and a spider web drooped from the ceiling, but I didn't hear any groaning and no mysterious footsteps. I inspected the sink walls and floor. Little discoloration, no blood.
Okay.
Ha! He says, so much for urban legends. There's probably something in the water that caused it to discolor over time.
All right.
So he goes in. I turn on the tap and, because the maintenance said there was no water. Guess what?
Water.
Water everywhere. Gushed all over the place. I smiled. Well, looked like I had the bathroom to myself. I don't know what this guy's planning on doing in his bathroom.
He's like reveling in this.
He's all excited.
Did he bring a spa candle with him?
A magazine.
You know. Salt.
Yeah, have some salt. A snack.
Yeah.
So he did what he had to do, and he locked the door after him.
Okay.
Himself. So he left. I got up late the next morning and had the downstairs bathroom all to myself. So it wasn't...
I didn't have to go back upstairs.
Yeah, he didn't until later that evening when it got crowded.
Yeah.
He decided to go up to the bathroom.
Everybody was...
He picked the lock again. So this is like his private bathroom at this point.
Yeah, okay.
He picked the lock again. As he stepped inside, the air temperature plummeted. Cold spot.
Nice.
All right. 20 degrees.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning. And his nose was hit by a pungent smell, probably because he was there the day before.
Right.
But he's saying it's from fresh blood. And then a second later, he saw blood spatter all over the sink. Gore was everywhere on the porcelain, the walls, oozing down the sides of the sink. And hovering before it was a good 6 feet off the floor. Not 6 feet, 6 inches. So that would be interesting.
That's like
above my head.
A high ceiling bathroom. My goodness.
Yes, it's 20 feet tall.
A vaulted bathroom. My God.
A good 6 inches off the floor was the luminous form of a college-age boy wearing old-fashioned clothes in the style of the 60s. His forehead had a disfigured dent smashed into it. Blood was dripping down his face. As I gaped at him, horrified and frozen in terror, he turned and looked at me, and then he held out a blood-stained hand.
Ew.
His eyes were desperate, pleading for help. I heard a low moaning sound coming from between his blood-stained lips. The horror raised every hair on my body and made the skin prickle in sheer cold horror. I backpedaled fiercely.
How much
fiercely.
Horror is it in this?
Sheer
cold
horror.
Okay.
I backpedaled fiercely. I always find that weird when people say they backpedaled. My legs.
That's usually when you're
on a bike,
for a
right?
Story.
Yeah.
Like I really, you know.
Like you go back on what you say.
Yeah.
No. My legs scrambled to get away, while my eyes remained fixed on the ghost and the bloody sink. And then a red drop of blood fell from his outstretched hand as I stared from him. And then he bolted. And then
the ghost?
No, the guy.
Oh, okay.
He got out of there. And then he concludes, well, now I know why they kept the place locked. Look, so that is the bleeding sink.
I don't know. So if
I wouldn't
I have
gone
a problem.
In.
I would have got in.
You would have picked the lock and gone in to use the bathroom?
I would have gone in to use the bathroom because I like a nice private bathroom.
I mean, I do too, but that's there's something funny about that. You know what I mean? Like, for me... I'm not ready to pick a lock to get into something. Because if something is locked, there must be something in there that somebody doesn't want me to get to.
Right.
I'm not saying it has to be paranormal.
Right.
But, I mean, it's a locked bathroom. The maintenance people are like, look, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't give a shit.
I don't know.
I'm going in.
I might go in.
You think you would go in?
Maybe.
Man.
Maybe. In a dorm situation. I'm young. I'm a young, brazen Katie Casimir.
And you're going to go into a locked, creepy bathroom that has a questionable background.
I question things in bathrooms, especially in college. I have to. Once I go, I swear to God, some of these college parties, you have to open up any kind of like closet door in the bathroom, and you must always pull back the shower curtain.
Oh, hell yeah. Pull back a shower curtain when I'm at your house. I pull back the shower curtain. I don't care where I'm going.
But there's usually people there.
But it's... Yes, you but that's party. Why.
That's why.
That's why you
and
do it.
And then you always, and if you're in a, like a, at a party in a house and the windows are open, the shades are open, or the curtains are open, you close those.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, work to do in a bathroom when before
I'm,
you start.
When I'm going into a bathroom, it's just an instinct for me. My right hand just goes out and sweeps open the curtain. I do it at home.
Yeah.
And I have, my curtain is, you can almost see through it because yeah. I mandate that we have a curtain that is, you know, you oh, can kind of see a little bit through. That's my
decree.
Thing.
It's part yes. of your manifesto.
It freaks me because I grew up in the South, you know, people's, you've been to my mom's house.
Yes.
There's a lot of fucking shower curtains. There's yeah. a shower, there's like an exterior shower curtain. There's an interior shower curtain. There's like some curtains that are pulled back. There's a lot of stuff
there's
going
something.
On.
Yeah.
And so when you're a little kid, you go over to someone's house and it's not, you really can't see what's going
yeah.
on. It's like they've made like kind of like a, you know, a bathroom proscenium for horror.
Yeah,
anything
right.
could be behind
I
the curtains.
I know, they're looking at it like there's
yeah.
something there. I
there's
know
too
it.
Much going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's too much fabric and you just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a look.
I had bunk beds as a kid. And,
oh, really?
My sister and I
did
would
you
sleep
on the top or bottom? Oh, you switched
We would
off.
Switch every couple of months. We'd switch.
You have a calendar?
on
the 15th,
yeah, I'm sure.
You gotta go.
Yeah. yeah. But when you're on the bottom, that's when you can make a nice fort. And you can tuck a blanket underneath the top mattress and have it hang down.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like a little private room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would sit in there and read and, you know, play with the stuffed animals and tell them stories, whatever I was doing.
Until your time is up. You need to move to the top.
But then I think, what if there's a vampire outside? In the
Valid point.
And now I sat there one night just terrified, just convinced there was a vampire in the room and I'd have to pull back that curtain and see it.
The
and
question
me,
is that how long? Because I used to do something similar. I would put
yeah.
a blanket over my head and be like, oh no, now I've given things time to come out.
Right.
like, the only reason why nothing was out is because I was vigilant.
Right.
Now.
Now, guess what?
Now what?
It's all
going to
be
there.
There's
going to be a
I
fucking convention
back.
Going on
yeah.
out there right now. Leprechauns, killer smurfs, Sasquatch.
Anything. It could be anything.
Anything.
Yeah, it took a long time to screw up my courage to pull that back.
Wow. In kid time. It was probably like a minute.
Yeah,
right. You're like, I sat there for hours, this
yeah.
clenched,
yeah.
trying to make the decision.
Like, oh, God.
So that's our tale from Dirk Campfire.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right, what do you have?
I have, of course, one of our favorite things in the world. What is it?
Penis news?
No. Well, that's a favorite thing, too. But this is about wine.
Oh, wine.
We love our white wine. We love the taste
yeah.
of white wine.
I
or
saw
white
a t-shirt
wine.
The other day said, we'll run for wine. And I almost bought it. And I was like, Jaquetta, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Okay. So, some sweet vino.
So, here, wine. How to tell if a wine is faulty or merely funky.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, where I live.
You've got to be real funky for me to turn a wine away.
No kidding.
You got to have, like, mushrooms growing out of the cork.
Like. It has to be like in chunks before.
Yes, it's solid.
Okay, with so many wine bottles now sealed with synthetic corks or screw caps, you might assume the problem of faulty wines has been eradicated.
Okay.
However, now with the popularity of low sulfur natural wines, things have gotten more complicated. So one of the more organic
oh,
wines.
Oh, organic ones.
They
okay.
don't. They took away the sulfur.
So I didn't mind the sulfur. I guess.
Yeah. Well.
I don't know. Like,
yeah, well, so these organic wines are now, you know, nice, and but they don't have much of a shelf life, right?
Oh.
So.
That's also okay for us, because once we get a wine bottle in our hands, it doesn't have much life left in it. Like, that's the last night of that wine's life.
It is. Yeah. If is a wine faulty or merely funky, you know, and do you have the right to send it back?
Is funky the professional term for that?
I think not, but. Yes. Fiona B., who wrote the article, seems to think so.
Okay.
So these
Fiona
days,
B.
bottles are rarely corked. And I
okay.
put that in quotes.
Okay.
And corked means infected by cork taint.
Okay. That's true, yeah.
But when I first
started drinking wine, I remember hearing about it from,
yeah.
like, rich, fancy people. Yeah. And me being like, I hope this $8 bottle of Louis Jadot isn't corked. Not
yeah.
even knowing what that is. Like, I didn't even have a palate. I probably drank plenty of corked wine.
Yeah. I
didn't
exactly.
realize. I was like, hey, I'm still drunk.
Yeah.
You still look
it's
good.
Fine.
You guys still look good.
About 3% is corked compared to 20% about 10 years ago.
Shit.
10 years ago.
So we would drink every, you know, 20 out of 100 bottles of wine that I had back in the day. Corked.
Yeah, corked.
Didn't even know it.
Right. And so it's tends to be pretty obvious when they're corked. Mm-hmm. Jaquetta.
It's not if it's the second bottle.
The signs are an unpleasant, musty, or moldy smell.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly harder qual is when the wine merely tastes tired or flat, not fresh or fruity, as you remember from the first glass.
This Merlot is tired, girl. Burnt out.
Or it could be slightly cabbagey.
Okay. Wow.
And that means if it's cabbagey, it's most likely due to have been displayed under hot, bright lights.
It smells like a broth. Okay.
You can, it no, can
that
tough. Was,
that's legitimate. I went to a bar a couple of weeks ago, and I had a sip of the wine, and I was like, this is right. And then they came over, and they tried some of it. They're like, oh, it's not good. And then they said, oh, well, we've been keeping the wine on the top shelf there by the radiator, I'm like, or, you know, where the heating unit is. I'm like, you guys think maybe don't fucking do that?
Yeah.
Or,
I've done that. There's a bodega across the street. Sometimes I get my wine there.
Is the wine in the front in the window?
Basically. Yes. And I opened it up and it was like, it tastes like vinegar.
Wow. So you made a salad.
I walk right back. I'm like, look, this is my Friday night.
Yeah, you ruined.
What are you trying to do to me? What are you trying to do to me?
You have to get a little oil.
Yeah, right.
Some olives.
They're like, here, take
some
it.
Some nice greens.
Okay, so they say it's trickier still if the wine just seems a bit odd. A farmyardy aroma.
What is it? Shit? It smells like shit? That's a farmyardy aroma. Right. I grew up around farms.
Or a petro smell. So.
I can't remember the last time I had a nice glass of wine. I was like, fields.
Barnyards.
Yeah, barnyards. Maybe pig.
Yeah. Okay, so what if a white wine, it tastes more like cider than wine.
What if it does?
Or if the red has a bit of a spritz.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, well, it depends how strongly you feel about it.
Okay, red wine should not be effervescent.
Right.
Like, it should not, you know.
Right, right. If the waiter or wine list hasn't warned you that it may be outside the normal register.
Don't bring it over here.
Yeah.
I want to see a wine that's so messed up when they open the cork, it just flies across the room like it's champagne.
I was at an event once, and there was a wine on the table, a wine bottle, and the cork blew out.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Yeah.
Was there applause?
There was those expressions on people's faces.
Like classy.
It was hilarious. So, you know, don't be afraid to return the wine in any.
I'm not. I sometimes just don't like it. And I'm like, take it away.
Yeah.
Like, get this
we've
out
been
of
together.
Here.
We've done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they let you taste it.
Yes,
the
taste
funny
it
thing is that when you're younger, you don't know that.
Yeah.
So you'll taste the one and be like, oh, this is shit, but it's open. It's like, no.
No, this means.
You can send it back.
This is the part where you send it back.
This is the part where you send it back because you had a sip. Because they will then take that wine and then they will just give it by the glass
right.
to someone else whose palate is less developed.
Yeah. So basically, you know, the article here, it's like how to tell. Mm-hmm. You can tell. Now what do you do about it? It's like up to you.
Raise hell.
Yeah.
You burn that motherfucker down.
Yeah.
You tear the roof off that place.
It's like, they're challenging you and your palate here.
What's hard for me is to tell sometimes when a beer is skunked.
Oh,
because you have to, you know what you're doing, but there's so many different kinds of beers that it's hard to tell sometimes when a beer, especially if it's something that's really hoppy,
mm-hmm.
when it's good and when it's not good.
Right.
So
I remember learning that term, skunky beer, like what?
We have to report on that next time for beer news.
Yeah.
When we take it downtown. I like that one. Thank you for the education.
Sure.
Now I'm like, I need a glass of wine. What else do we have here? Oh, I have something of interest.
Yes. What do you have?
It says, and I found, this is some as English language newspaper, but it's coming from, I think, Central India. But the article is from Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Which I found interesting.
By way of Toronto.
By way of Toronto. It says, ladies, stop judging a man by his hose.
What?
I don't know what that means. Check his fingers instead. I don't know what his hose is.
Oh, all right.
Anyway, men with short index fingers and long ring fingers are on average nicer towards women, less quarrelsome, according to a new study.
Okay.
Researchers, you're going to accept
longer than what, though?
Short index fingers and long ring fingers.
On themselves. Okay.
Are we clear that it's on the man's hand, of his own hand? Researchers at McGill University said this phenomenon stems from the hormones these men have been exposed to in the womb.
Ew.
Men's index fingers are generally shorter than their ring fingers, and the difference is less pronounced than in women.
All right.
Yeah, I checked mine out, too. Previous research has found that digit ratio, and that's a professional term, defined as the second digit length divided by the fourth digit length, mm-hmm. is an indication of the amount of male hormones. No one has time, man, to figure this out. You gotta think fast. Chiefly, so it indicates how much testosterone a male has.
Okay.
And then that has to do with how much they were exposed, you know, how much they got.
Oh,
in the
my
womb.
God. It's like, now you look at a guy and you're like, oh, look at the fingers.
Yeah.
Now think about the womb. Now think about testosterone.
But sometimes by the time you're seeing that hand up close, it's too late.
It's too late.
As in a bitch slap. Like, so it's fascinating to see that moderate variations of hormones before birth can actually influence adult behavior in a selective way. I have no idea how they were able to figure this out or who came up with
also,
this.
Also, more testosterone means less hair on the head.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, most definitely. So the most, quote-unquote, virile men
yeah.
are the bald guys.
Yeah.
Guy with a full head of hair, good luck, ladies.
Yeah.
Good luck. It says, with women, when with women, men with smaller ratios were more likely to listen attentively, smile and laugh, or compromise or compliment the other person. For women, though, digit ratio variation didn't seem to predict how they would behave at all.
Okay.
So there's no point, gentlemen, in looking at the woman's hand. It's not going to tell you
anything. Uh-huh.
So you're looking for a guy
that look at her heart.
Has a short index finger and a long ring finger.
Okay.
So he's supposed to be, on average, nicer and, you know, less of a dick.
Okay.
You know, not as much back talk from the
yeah.
dude. Less sass.
You just keep yeah. it in check, son.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
So, yeah, that's what they came up with.
Do you know, that's what I say when I meet a new guy. Do you know how to keep it in check, son?
Yeah. I don't, are you going to quarrel with me a lot? Because I really don't have time for that.
Let me see those fingers.
Let me see those hands. You need to come with, like, some, you know, like.
A measuring device?
Yeah, something to do some, like, calibration.
Okay.
Check things out.
Like a yes. protractor.
And they come out with all this stuff. That for some bizarre reason, that made me think of how every year in school I would buy a little kit like that.
Oh, I love
with
that.
A protractor
yeah.
and the rulers and all that. I never used any of it.
No, I didn't either, but it's just secure. It felt good having it, right?
Yeah, if you need to do circumference real fast.
Yeah, I know.
You know how you do in third grade.
And you put it down. Let the teacher know that you mean business.
Yeah. I'm not fucking around.
All right, look what
Boom.
I got.
And I have the extra tiny little pieces of the lead to refill this thing,
yeah.
too, if I need to make a circle. I'm on point. In 1983.
All right.
What do you have?
I was flipping through Azure magazine. This is a design.
As one does.
Yeah, design, architecture, interiors, curiosity.
Let me just say that this magazine looks like it comes out like 3 times a year and costs like $24.
It's a nice piece
yeah.
of equipment.
Each page is actually burnished oak.
Yeah. Lots of color,
and
lots of print.
The binding is deer skin.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
All right. So I saw this this article, 20 Ways That Travel Is Changing.
Oh, no.
So it's 20 different ways.
Is it getting more luxurious?
It's getting more high-tech.
Okay.
But one thing that you can do, this is just a brief thing, you can print your own gear as you go. So if you're traveling somewhere,
I left my thong at home.
Right,
quickly.
You can go ahead and get in touch with the hotel, and they can use their 3D printer and print one and have it ready for you. So your So your clothing, your shoes, they have your shoes, a bracelet, and a dress. You can email a file to your hotel and say, "Hey, can you print this out for me? And I want it ready in my room."
A bracelet?
Yep. 3D printing, and you can have it ready to go.
I'm still, you know, trying to get them to put the toothpaste back in the room.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So if you don't want to really travel with a lot of luggage, you mm-hmm. can have the stuff there. But then you have to take it back with you.
And now you have two.
Yeah.
But so what is it? It's like I left my Fendi bag at home. Can
yeah.
you print one up for me?
Basically. They have like a dress here, the yellow wedges.
I'm sorry. Is this hotel in a place where there are no shops?
That's the, yeah.
Like... I think they're just saying they're printing it for you. Really, they're just running down to the Gap
store and getting it
and buying it for you.
Right?
They're going to Forever 21 and just picking it up.
Yeah, but this is another thing here that caught my eye. It's called the Portable Hotel.
Okay.
It is basically, you know, if you the Olympics going on or some kind of thing,
you know,
they can erect what is called a snooze box, which is basically like two levels. It looks like kind of like
a cheap hotel.
A cheap hotel.
Motel.
A cheap
actually.
Motel. But basically, it's like container size boxes. And a container is like a shipping container. It's a 20 by 40 foot container. That's what you see on the trains, on the boats.
The standard.
But it has now been converted on the inside to look like a nice hotel room. So you have the you know, everything done in beige.
They've basically taken a tin can and are charging you to stay in it.
Right. So then these things roll up at the event, at the Olympics or whatever, their World's Fair.
Why are we at the Olympics and there's nowhere to stay? These are major events and there's nowhere to stay.
Yeah. So they have staff.
Did you say the World's Fair? Is that thing a time machine as well, Katie? Because, frankly...
Well, they just put these up there. Then they have staff nearby, and you know they have check in, check out.
What are the staff made out of? Where did they get? Because presumably there's no hotel around.
Right, maybe. Right, so they have the androids from the other hotel.
Okay, they come over,
printing your outfits and putting you in a container.
Wow, I feel like I'm never going to leave this container.
I know.
Like, I feel like I'm going to go in the container when I wake up. I'm going to be back in, you know, it's going to be like white chattel slavery for you and just regular slavery for me. You know?
Like, basically, it's not the room itself, the inside is designed and decorated very nice.
Why do I feel like there's a trail of wine leading us to this? That's like, come on, guys, it'll be fun.
The outside looks like the abandoned city of Chernobyl.
It does. It does look like.
It looks like you don't want to get sad looking at it. The whole outside is not, there's no landscape architecture. It's like a gravel front yard.
Yeah.
Here,
it looks like
barren trees.
It looks like, you know, some prototype disaster housing.
Right.
Really.
That's what it does look like.
That's bizarre.
Oh, so, there you go.
And from the picture, it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere. So, I don't know what this Olympics is that you talk of. That's like in BFE. Like, there's nothing going
on. It's like
on.
The World Cup, you know, all this. Anyway, snooze box.
Mm-hmm. Can I get my shoe printed up in there?
You can.
While I'm at it. You know, I left my weave at the airport.
Can you print that up?
Yeah, it's ashy blonde. So, or so it got sucked up by the Roomba.
Snoozeboxhotel.co.uk.
Wow.
Can go look at that, listeners, and be as afraid as
I don't like that.
I don't like
it. It's probably expensive as well.
I'm sure it is.
All right, what else do you have on that? I can't believe this is happening.
There's a whole variety of things here, and I just am amazed.
Are these things that are actually happening, or they're slated to happen?
Is it like the future? Well, the 3D printing is slated to happen, and the snooze box is actually
I have a 3D bracelet that I got when I was... There was a 3D printing store in Greenwich. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, right? We go in there. Not that awesome.
No.
Because they're printing, they're still at the stage now where they're printing things we already have.
But how did they know what to load the printer with?
Well, this was just giveaway thing.
Oh, okay.
But the majority, I mean, you can, I think that, and actually maybe I'll do this. We could have our heads printed up in the logo 3D.
All right.
That's kind of interesting. That's the kind of stuff you can do. It takes a long time. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And we already have our own heads in a logo.
Yeah,
we don't need that.
We don't need this. You know, they have, here, Urban Water Worlds, where they have, like, these little islands. It's like, basically, people, you know, are building little home structures that are out on top of the water, and whole little, like, neighborhoods.
Okay.
Which is kind of neat.
That's kind of interesting. Is that travel-based, though, or is that more...
No, I think it's just expanding real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of just living on land and having a home built, get these islands built out.
Plus, the other plus of the islands is, you know, no poor people, probably. So...
The one thing that looks cool, but it's just, I looked at it actually and then thought, nasty, urban swimming. So in the middle of these cities in Denmark.
They're clean.
Yeah, but if they try to replicate this model.
I'm thinking like the East River.
Yeah, I know. If they
where
try
the
to
fish
do this
have like
New
three
York,
eyes and like a tattoo.
It's a series of all these different sized pools and steps going up and landings and things like that. So you can jump into this pool or run down the stairs and go into another
pool. I would do it in Scandinavia.
But not here.
In New York, maybe not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not even a maybe.
No,
the answer
definitely
is
not at all. We have this thing called the beach in New Jersey. That's
just
quite
go
nice.
There.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Go to the beach in New Jersey. You call it going down the shore.
What if you're in Maryland?
You
still say going down the shore, even though you're going up? You know, you should stay the fuck home.
Yeah.
You go to Ocean City.
No, you go to the beach. Anywhere else. If you're in Florida, you go to the beach. You're in California, you go to the beach. When you're in Jersey, you go down the shore.
Oh, we say down the shore as well.
Do you say it in Maryland? Mm-hmm.
People down say the they're going down the ocean.
Down the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But they say ocean.
Ocean.
Because it's Maryland.